The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
After 15 months of war, a Gaza ceasefire deal has finally been reached between Israel and the Hamas in Gaza. The groundbreaking deal could see a halt in fighting and the release of Israeli hostages as well as Palestinian prisoners. However, as you've been hearing, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has this morning accused Hamas of backing out of parts of the agreement, claiming they're trying to blackmail Israel for last-minute concessions. But meanwhile, a senior Hamas official has appeared to push back on those claims. Issat El-Reshik said Hamas is committed to the ceasefire deal as announced by mediators in Qatar last night. We're joined by Fawaz Gurgis, Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics. Fawaz, good morning.
Good morning to you.
What do you make, first of all, of Benjamin Netanyahu's claims that Hamas is reneging on parts of the deal or delaying them, and then the response from Hamas?
Well, I mean, we have been here before, haven't we? We have seen the tricks and the games and the delays that Benjamin Netanyahu has been making in the past 15 months. But I think, fortunately for the Palestinians and the Israeli hostages, I think Benjamin Netanyahu does not really have a wiggle room now. I think he's trying to extract as many concessions as possible before the cabinet votes on the deal. I think the deal is done. Hamas has made it very clear that it abides by every single clause of the deal. The Americans, Trump and Biden have made it very clear that the deal has been reached. The international community expects the deal to be reached, even though, as we talk, you and I, Israel has been bombing Gaza in the past 24 hours after the announcement by President Biden and the incoming President Trump that the deal has been reached.
Now, we know that Netanyahu does not want a deal. The consequences for him politically, in terms of the makeup of his own cabinet, the prospect of an election, the prospect of a trial on corruption charges, he would prefer the war to go on. What left him with no choice but to go down this road?
Well, I think if you ask me, what was the most decisive factor in the breakthrough? I think it was the Trump factor. Trump has made it very clear he wants a ceasefire before his inauguration on Monday, next Monday, the 20th of January. And Benjamin Netanyahu realizes that basically Trump is not Biden. I mean, we know, the world knows, even Biden knows, that Benjamin Netanyahu outsmarted Biden, outmaneuvered Biden, and basically, you know, took everything from Biden and continued the war. So what Benjamin Netanyahu is doing now is gifting Donald Trump a ceasefire in order to really extract more concessions from Trump in the next few weeks and next few months, in particular in terms of expansion of Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank and East Jerusalem. But look, Pat, I hope I am wrong. What we are witnessing, what we have witnessed, is a temporary ceasefire. This is not a comprehensive end to Israel's war in Gaza. Israeli troops will continue to have a major presence in Gaza. Israel has established a buffer zone in Gaza. Netanyahu and his extremist coalitions have no, basically, desire or wish to pull out from Gaza. So what we are witnessing, what we will witness in the next, you know, few weeks and next few months, is the end of the intense phase of activities of war. Yet Israel's war in Gaza will continue in the same way as it has in the West Bank. Finally, the final, really, I mean, a point on this. What Israel really wants is a free hand in Gaza, in the same way that it has a free hand in the West Bank and other places
as
well.
The detail of the deal suggests that in the second stage of the three-stage deal, Hamas will release all remaining living captives, and there will be the complete, and this is what the deal says, complete withdrawal of Israeli forces from Gaza.
Well, that's what the deal says. I mean, here is a question to you and to your listeners. Hamas, from the beginning, made it very clear they were willing to sign one deal without the three phases. Release all the Israeli hostages for the comprehensive end of the ceasefire. Netanyahu basically was decisively said no. He wants three phases. Yesterday, one of the top articles in the Haaretz newspaper made it very clear that the reason why Biden wanted three phases, because he really does not really want an end to the war. The war in Gaza, Pat, is not going to end. What's going to end is the intense phase of hostilities. But look, let's celebrate this moment. It's a moment of hope. 2 million Palestinians have been displaced multiple times. Tens of thousands of Palestinians have been killed. More than 100,000 injured. Gaza is no more. No hospitals, no medical facilities, no schools. The cultural heritage of Gaza has been destroyed. It will take a decade to rebuild Gaza. And also importantly, I think this would mean the end of the agony of almost 100 Israeli hostages and the pain and the suffering of their families in the past 15 months.
The calculation was done on television last night when I was watching all of this unfold. 10% of the population of Gaza has been killed. The equivalent death rate, if you were to apply it to the United States, would be 30 million. And that puts it in a context.
I mean, it is really beyond. I mean, we keep saying there are no words to describe Israel's savagery in Gaza. I mean, the question for you, I mean, not only according to the World Bank, the United Nations, it will take decades. I mean, you're talking about 40, 50 years to rebuild what Israel has destroyed, even if the funds are there and if there is the will. The question for you is the following. What has Israel basically achieved in the war? Just a couple of days ago, Pat, the American Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, in a speech in Washington, I am now in Washington, D.C., he made it very clear that Hamas is still standing. Hamas has as many fighters as it had on the 7th of October. Hamas is down. Hamas is weakened. But Hamas continues to resist, and Hamas will be in Gaza during the day, the morning after, and in the days after. So the question is, of course, Israel has, basically structurally weakened Hamas. But the reality is, Israel's war basically really targeted mainly civilians, children and women. Half of them basically are the casualties. And we don't really know the extent of casualties. People say 45,000. Medical scientists say the numbers probably are 200,000 and 300,000 Palestinians who have been killed in the past 15 months.
The question now is whether or not Netanyahu is going to keep on looking for excuses to resume the war and how soon he will do that, and his calculation as to what Donald Trump might do if suddenly full hostilities are resumed by Israel.
My reading, and I could be wrong, Pat, is that this ceasefire is real. This is it. The next 40 days, both sides will do their best to abide by its clauses. Hamas will release 33 Israeli hostages. Most of them are alive, children, women, and elderly. Israel will release, 30 Palestinian prisoners in return for every Israeli hostage. Just a point here, a footnote. How many of you listeners know that Israel basically has more than 10,000 Palestinian prisoners and hostages, including hundreds of children and women. So many Palestinian prisoners and hostages will be released, and Israel will pull out some of its forces from heavily populated areas. Remember, heavily populated areas. It doesn't say that Israel basically will pull out of Gaza, and Israel will have the right to basically carry out military strikes up to 2 kilometers in Gaza, even during the next 40 days. And then in the second phase, Hamas and Israel will basically begin another phase of talks in order to release all the hostages and end Israel's occupation of Gaza. I doubt it very much whether Benjamin Netanyahu and his coalition will basically, accept the second phase of the deal.
Doesn't this exchange of prisoners for hostages illustrate the attitude that the Israelis have towards Palestinians, that, you know, one Israeli life is the equivalent of 30 Palestinian lives? In other words, they're little more than vermin in the Israelis' eyes.
Oh, absolutely. This has been so since the establishment of Israel in 1948. Not only in terms of one Israeli life for many Palestinian lives. Every time an Israeli citizen is killed, Israel's strategy is to really punish and kill dozens of Palestinians. In fact, according to the New York Times newspaper estimation, they did basically calculation for during this particular war, the 15 months. Israel now basically changed the rules of its engagement. That is, for every Hamas militant or fighter, whatever, Israel now's strategy basically accepts collateral damage, that's the killing of 20 or 30 Palestinians. Imagine. I mean, it tells you about the dehumanization of the Palestinians. I mean, this is really traditional colonialism. You're talking about classical colonialism where the native population, the colonized population, have really no rights, have no dignity, the sanctity of life does not really matter for an occupying power like the Israeli military occupation.
Now, you know, when this announcement was made and we saw images of the people protesting for the release of hostages in Tel Aviv, and it was muted enough. And then you went to Khan Yunis, where the Gazan people were celebrating. I mean, they were euphoric that the ceasefire had been announced. And there was talk during the press conference in Qatar about, you know, the goodwill that might cease hostilities. But according to the Hamas-run agencies in Gaza, since the announcement of the ceasefire, 73 people are reported killed in Israeli airstrikes. They say that 73 killed, including 20 children and 25 women, and more than 230 wounded. So it doesn't demonstrate any token of goodwill on the part of the Israelis that a meaningful deal has been reached.
Well, I mean, are you surprised? Are you listeners surprised? Even in the case after the ceasefire was signed in Lebanon, Israel continued to bomb Lebanon. Israel continues to violate the ceasefire in Lebanon. More than 600 violations of the ceasefire in Lebanon by Israel. And the French and the Americans are supposedly in charge of trying to really do oversight over Israel. This is Israel's strategy. I mean, the reality is, because Israel can get away with it, I mean, they can do anything they want. Because the Americans, and mainly the British and the Germans and the French to a lesser extent, basically will allow Israel to do whatever it wants. I mean, the idea of international law, the idea of international humanity, the idea of... We're talking about really the law of the jungle. But look, I want to come to really the bottom line here. And this is really was very much implied in your question. I mean, I think for the families of Israeli hostages, it's a great moment of relief. For the Palestinians who have been killed and slaughtered and hammered and beyond any kind of imagination, it's more than a relief. It's an end of a hellish nightmare. So at least the Palestinians will have 40 days to receive humanitarian aid. I mean, look at the whole idea, how obscene it is, that Israel, as a result of the ceasefire, will allow 600 trucks of aid to enter Gaza as a result of the ceasefire. So what does it tell you, Pat? It tells you that Israel basically used aid, humanitarian aid, used food and starvation as a strategy of its war. Because why would otherwise Israel allow more trucks, hundreds of trucks, to enter Gaza? And why Israel did not really allow more humanitarian basic aid to enter Gaza. We're talking really about war crimes. We're talking about crimes against humanity. These are not my words. These are the words of a human rights organization, you know, Human Rights Watch and United Nations, basically humanitarian aid. And the accusation that Israel has committed war crimes and crimes.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.